Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Wednesday, April the 2nd. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, the hard-hitting campaign urging us to stay off railway tracks in Kent. A Kent Animal Sanctuary urges us to think twice before buying a rabbit this Easter. Plus, we hear from the Gillingham boss following his first home game in charge. But first up, this is our top story on the website today. A Maidstone mum who punched her neighbour 20 times following a row about loud music has avoided going to prison. Well, Lucy joins me on the podcast with more on this story. So, Lucy, give us the background. Where and when did it happen?
Well, Amy Bray was living in shared accommodation on Randall Street when she carried out the attack on another woman in November 2023. A court's been told the 31-year-old was drunk at the time and repeatedly hit another woman who'd complained about music being played in the middle of the night. It was revealed Bray had downed a number of shots in the run-up to the violent outburst.
And was the victim badly hurt?
Well, she was struck so hard she lost balance and stumbled through another resident's door. The assault continued until the victim was back in her own room and only stopped when police were called. She suffered two large bruises to her face and has said the attack has left her in constant fear.
What else was said in court, Lucy?
Samuel Glanville, who was defending Bray, said Bray had a drug habit dating back to when she was just 13. She had been physically abused by her mother and had also been in inappropriate relationships with adult men. He also highlighted her mental health issues and how before this incident she'd been making very good progress since her last conviction. At an earlier hearing, Bray admitted assault causing actual bodily harm. She was given an 18-month prison term, suspended for 2 years. She's also got to do 40 rehab sessions, a 12-month mental health treatment programme and a 9-month drug rehabilitation requirement. Finally, Bray's been made subject to a 5-year restraining order and told to pay her victim compensation.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
A Kent man's died in a crash involving a van and motorbike in West Sussex. Emergency crews were called to Turnpike Road in Amberley on Sunday. We're told the motorbike rider died at the scene and was a 66-year-old from the county. A man who caused a fatal crash while driving his dad's Range Rover in Dover has been jailed. Shyam Sugarnam was on the wrong side of a dual carriageway in September 2022 when he collided with a taxi, killing the rear seat passenger. The 22-year-old from Hagden Lane in Watford was found guilty of causing death by dangerous driving following a trial and has been locked up for 3 years. A man who subjected his girlfriend to a prolonged attack over several days in Tunbridge Wells is facing time behind bars. A court's been told he left his victim with fractures to her jaw, spine, ribs and shoulders. The 29-year-old from Chingford in Essex had been charged with attempted murder, but a guilty plea to GBH with intent was accepted. The trial of a man who's accused of trying to kill an army officer in Gillingham has been delayed because he's suffering from ill mental health. Lieutenant Colonel Mark Teaton was stabbed at Sallyport Gardens near Brompton Barracks last July. 24-year-old Anthony Essen from Mooring Road in Rochester is yet to enter a plea to a charge of attempted murder. He's due back in court in May. Now, the man who oversees the police in Kent has published his 4-year plan. Crime Commissioner Matthew Scott says he wants to cut crime, support victims and build trust. He's also promised to increase so-called hotspot patrols in areas with higher levels of violence and antisocial behaviour.
So the new police and crime plan, it's a statutory duty I have in order to set the priorities for Kent Police. I then hold the Chief Constable to account on your behalf to make sure that those priorities are being delivered. What we've tried to do with this new plan is to keep it simple and accessible so people understand what the core mission really is. And it says it right there on the tin: cut crime, support victims, build trust. And we'll do that in a number of ways. And that's about protecting people, about protecting places and property, but also partnerships as well, because it's not just the police which are responsible for cutting crime and antisocial behaviour. It's also local councils, as well as the powers that local housing associations have as well. So we've tried to capture what residents think is important, and I'll hold the Chief Constable to account to make sure that this is being delivered. There have been some big national scandals within policing which have affected all police forces, and I think we have to acknowledge those, we have to accept those, and say that policing has to respond to each of those points. But on the whole, we've seen feelings of safety have remained pretty consistent and in fact went up last year. There is still a significant level of trust for policing in this county, which is good to see. But I want to work with the force to make sure that we continue to do that. And that's about a number of things. That's about turning up at a crime scene when people have been a victim of crime. It's about getting regular updates. It's about being able to walk into your local police station and talk to somebody in your front counter. Those are all things that we're continuing to work on so that the force is accessible and is one that can be trusted.
Kent Online reports.
A man's appeared in court after an alleged assault in Chatham left another man with head injuries. The victim was treated by paramedics before being taken to hospital after it happened in Meadowbank Road on Sunday. A 40-year-old from Luton Road in the town is accused of wounding with intent. A Canterbury man's been locked up for 3.5 years for his role in County Line drug dealing. Josh Thomas was found to be involved in a group supplying heroin and cocaine in the city. Police searched the 33-year-old's house in Downs Road and also found amphetamine, items linked to drug deals and several knives. Tributes left in Ramsgate to a father and veteran who lost his life in a car crash have been ripped down and replaced with graffiti. The flowers and letter were placed on Westcliff Promenade by his ex-wife and daughter in February, but vandals took them down and wrote, "Have some respect," on the fence. The community have rallied to remove the graffiti and a local florist has offered to make a new arrangement to hang at the site. Now, if you follow Kent Online on socials, you can see the remains of a lorry left under a bridge in Stroud following a crash. The back of the vehicle was ripped off when it hit the railway bridge over Bryant Road on Sunday. We're told no one was injured, but the area has remained taped off. There's criticism that two Kent children's centres saved from closure have seen their funding cut. Staff and families using Millmead in Margate and Seashells in Sheerness campaigned for the sites to stay open. It's now been revealed they'll each get just £27,000. That's a cut of around £200,000. Next up today, Kent tourism bosses have told us their campaign to get international trains stopping in the county isn't over. That's despite news that Sir Richard Branson's Virgin Group have been given the green light to run services through the Channel Tunnel. They've hinted that stops at Ashford and Ebbsfleet could be a possibility, somewhere Eurostar hasn't called out since COVID. Well, we've been chatting to Jim Dawson, who's from Visit Kent.
We think there's 30,000 jobs that could be created by being able to reinstate those services. There's a huge number of businesses, over 500 businesses that have all said that they would benefit and they would like to see it reinstated. And we know, Richard Branson is one of our leading entrepreneurs and has been, and his support for business and business growth has been fantastic over the years. So I really hope that he sees the benefit that this campaign will bring to not just Kent, but also to the wider UK economy as well.
Yeah, it's a bit vague, the statement that they've given. They've said they're ready to take on this challenge and expect an announcement very soon. But there's no mention of the Kent stations in there yet, is there?
No, that's it. No mention of specific stations. They have said that they don't foresee any more hurdles now. Hopefully there are no further hurdles, but, we wait and see. We wait and see. You know what it's like with these things. You can never be 100% confident that there won't be one or two more spanners in the works that need to be overcome before we get to the position where we want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess maybe a bit of a glimmer of hope rather than a complete victory.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's positive. We talk about green shoots and all that kind of thing. And it's definitely a step in the right direction. It's really good to hear some positive indication that things are progressing, but still much, much more that needs to be done and that we would like to see happen.
How does it feel for you as at Visit Kent? Obviously, you've been involved in this campaign for a number of years now. Obviously, since COVID, the trains haven't been stopping at Ebbsfleet and Ashford International. Does it feel like a bit of a victory, or just to kind of have it being spoken about again in this kind of conversation that's being brought up and just having it in the public eye, maybe?
It's good that it brings it back to public attention. I mean, we work a lot to make sure that dialogue is continuing and that story is being shared. So great that Virgin have now added into that and are continuing to keep the story alive. We continue to send briefings to politicians and continue to lobby to make sure that the conversation keeps happening and the spotlight continues to be shone on that because it's a really important issue and it's one that we know will be hugely beneficial. We recently delivered some research at the end of last year, and we were absolutely delighted that the visitor economy had pretty much returned back to where we were pre-COVID. We were back to the levels that we had in 2019. But we want to, we want to grow on that, and we want to go beyond that. And we certainly see this as being one of the major pieces in the puzzle that will enable us to see some of that growth within the visitor economy.
Kent Online reports.
A warning, our next story contains some very graphic content. A hard-hitting campaign urging us not to stray onto railway lines in Kent has been launched. Network Rail have teamed up with British Transport Police. As stats show, more than half of us here in the southeast don't know about the electric rail. It's also known as the third rail and carries 750 volts of electricity, which is more than enough to kill or seriously injure. Now, a video released as part of the campaign details the grim realities of what happens if you touch it.
What does a foot melted into a trainer look like? I'm Sean Harrison and I'm a special effects makeup artist. Today we're working with the first responders to show what it would look like if someone strays onto an electrified rail track.
As the electricity passes through the skin, it will exit, exploding out of the skin, creating quite a crater. My name's Nicole Lee and I'm the London and South East Burns Network Manager. Electricity will run through an area of least resistance, so it kind of heats your bones up and cooks you from the inside out. The muscles will contract and become quite stuck. Sometimes you have to really work to break their grip. You can end up needing regular dialysis, long-term scar revisions. You can have heart problems, you can have gut problems leading to you needing a stoma. Stay off the tracks. It's just not worth it.
Elsewhere, an amber wildfire warning is in force across Kent because of the dry and sunny weather. It may only be spring, but the Met Office say there's an increased risk of blazes breaking out with temperatures due to reach 20 degrees later this week. We're being urged to take extra care with barbecues, cigarettes and litter. Plans to close the only road through Britain's smallest town near Canterbury have been scaled back. The busy route in Fordwich was due to shut for 6 months between April and September, so repairs can be carried out on a £1 million listed house. The closure's now been reduced to 14 weeks starting next Monday. Select Fashions reportedly collapsed, leaving staff without redundancy pay or owed wages. It has stores in Maidstone and Chatham, and an insolvency firm's reportedly launched a wind down of the chain. A reminder to drivers, part of the M20 is going to be closed tonight for work to install Operation Brock. The contraflow's coming into force between Maidstone and Ashford for the Easter holidays. It's designed to manage the flow of traffic heading towards the channel crossings at Dover and Folkestone. Next today, the boss of a Kent animal sanctuary is urging us to think twice before getting a rabbit, as she's overrun with abandoned ones. 20 are currently being looked after at the Lord Whiskey Charity near Canterbury. It's thought as many as 67,000 end up in rescue centres across the country each year. Well, sanctuary founder Margaret Todd has been speaking to Abby and Bartholomew from our colleagues at KMTV.
Particular rabbits came into us because the lady was evicted and had nowhere to take them, and they were all living loose in her flat, so obviously she probably started with two rabbits and ended up with 20.
How often is it that you see this many rabbits in particular dropped off? Because as you've been speaking with Kent Online, you've told them that actually they're often the most neglected pets.
Yeah, well, we're seeing more and more of this. I think a lot of it is that people just haven't got the money to buy food for their animals, and it all gets, a bit out of control. And I think the situation's going to get worse the way, things are going, with shortage of money and people not being able to find properties where they can have animals.
Many people get rabbits as family pets as well, but they aren't actually compatible really with children. For instance, they don't actually like being picked up too much. They don't like being too sort of disturbed, but that sort of defeats what we all think about bunny rabbits, especially around Easter.
I mean, people think that they're you know, cuddly and all that, which they are. And if you have them from a young age, then you can handle them and they like being handled. But of course, you know, when they get bigger, they're heavier and they're not really suitable for children unless the parents are very involved in the handling of them and showing the children how to handle them. And they do live a long time as well, you know. So you are making a commitment to look after them.
Of course, it is a conversation that we tend to have around this time of year. Just sort of, I mean, I know Easter hasn't arrived yet, but just after Easter, there tends to be a lot of people that, you know, have maybe given out a bunny as a gift, and they say, well, I can't really look after it anymore, and that they have to pass it on. With the influx that you're having, what sort of a strain is that putting on the work that you do at the sanctuary?
It's difficult to say, really. I think, as you say, people, you know, take them on, you know, Easter time, bunnies, thinking that they're going to make nice pets for the children. And, of course, in the right hands they can, but the parents have got to be involved in finding that, making sure that the children can look after them properly, because they do need looking after. Their teeth need checking, their bottoms need checking to make sure that they don't get fly strike. And obviously the hutches need to be kept clean, and they also need an area outside where they can go on the grass and that sort of thing.
And finally, a 7-year-old boy from Maidstone has been praised for his bravery after dialing 999 when his mum collapsed at home. Franklin's quick actions meant paramedics were able to get care to his mum, Paris, who was diagnosed with a blood clot. He's been reunited with the dispatcher who took the call and given a special tour of Seacamp's new centre in Medway.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and it was another draw for Gillingham last night in their game against Colchester United. The match at Priestfield ended 1-1 after Max Clark levelled from the penalty spot in the second half. Well, new manager Gareth Ainsworth has praised his players' performance. He spoke to us after the final whistle.
How has it finished 1-1, you know? I thought the boys were fantastic. I do. I thought the fans were fantastic. to put in place this early what I've asked them to do, you know, a little bit of organisation, a little bit of a structure and a little bit of identity, which we want to get to, you know. We want to get to this place. They've took their messages on really well. I thought every single one of them was superb today, honestly. And it's really early days, so listen, I'm not going to say we've solved anything at all, but it gives me so much belief and hope that this team can achieve, you know, at some stage. It needs building. We need building, but I see the start of some good moves, and like if we can just put the finishing touch on things, I think we could have blown them away today. But like I said, let's not get carried away. We're 19th in the table, so there's a reason for that as well. But it's a great performance, you know. It's first game at home. Boys, the fans. I think the fans can see now what I'm trying to bring, and hopefully they're going away going, you know, we deserve more than that.
So what pleased you most about the performance?
Yeah, the messages I got to the boys before. Listen, I trained five lads who were in the squad at 3 o'clock, and they trained superbly well. And that sets a platform for the squad who's coming in at 4:30 to go, wow, we've got to lift our levels as well. So it's the whole group here that has contributed to this performance. So when you say what pleased me the most, it's just the whole squad at the moment is buying in. They're listening to me. They've been crying out for, I'd say, some structure and some shape on the pitch and some way of playing. But a lot of it is them as well, you know, good players. And I think I very rarely single out, but there's some players who landed on the second balls and playing some great stuff. I don't want to single them out because everyone played well today. So the whole lot has pleased me today. Not getting carried away, because against Harrogate, I was thinking, oh, wow, this is League Two again. This is hard, and it was windy. The pitch was terrible. But at home, on that pitch, with those fans behind you, boys looked confident and looked like they wanted to play, and they've come in buzzing. And a 1-1, we take another point. We'll slowly get over this line, I'm sure, but looking forward now to seeing what else I've got in this squad, because some of the boys tonight took their chances.
God, what an atmosphere. I mean, it's not 15, 20,000 people, but it sounds like that because they're so tight to the pitch. What did you make of the crowd this evening?
Yeah, listen, the staff said to me, you're going to love the last waltz before the game. And being a musician myself, they were very in tune and very loud, and it was brilliant.
And it does give you that moment where you're thinking, wow, this is us, and I want to join into that. I want to be part of that. And I think the players now are not embarrassed to go, I'm a Gillingham player, I want to buy into this. And we've got plenty more to come, loads more to come. There's loads of stuff we want to get into these boys, but really pleased they were all on it tonight. And well done, boys. You deserved a point, probably deserved a lot more.
The Jewels are still 19th in the League Two table. Johnny Williams was named man of the match last night. He's also been sharing his thoughts on their performance.
I think I can speak for the group. When you come off the pitch and you can see the boys actually enjoyed playing tonight, playing in front of the fans tonight. The energy from the final, from the start to the end, I think we deserve 3 points. It was really enjoyable to play, and it felt like only one team was going to go and win. And it was frustrating to concede the first goal, obviously, but we bounced back again, and that's twice in 2 or 3 days that we've managed to do that, come from a goal down, which is something I haven't always said since I've been here. So shows huge character in the group to come back and put in that performance.
They were hanging on at the end, weren't they? You sort of sensed another 3, 4, maybe 5 minutes we might have got a second goal, but it wasn't to be. But full of hunger, fight and desire that the gaffer's spoken about since he's come in.
Yeah, it's huge. I think the gaffer wants to instil a culture where everyone can be themselves, make mistakes. It's about how you respond. There was no shouting and getting onto Sam's back when the goal went in, and that feeds throughout the whole team. It's just positive energy. It's like, don't worry about it, what are you going to do next? And that's huge, I think, for players to feel that. Coming from the manager is massive. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Your teammate will get you out of it, and we did that tonight. It's brilliant to play in.
Good for you as well, I assume, back in that kind of familiar area of the pitch that you like to operate within. Did you enjoy tonight?
Yeah, I did. I really enjoyed it. It's been a frustrating season for me, well, as a group and individually. I think I've only started 3 games before the new manager's come in, and I've been fit pretty much the whole season. So for me, it's probably been one of the toughest of my career. But you just got to stay ready. You've got to keep training hard. When you're getting left out of squads and stuff in the past, and you just got to keep believing you're good enough, and when you get the opportunity, you've got to do your best and try and stay in the team and help the team. And I'm just happy I was able to do that tonight and repay the fans' faith in me, and hopefully it's the start of something. The gaffer wants to build something here, and I think the fans can see it's been a great start.
Staying with football, and Tunbridge Angels manager Jay Saunders has left the club earlier than planned. He was due to stay until the end of the season before heading to take over at Folkestone. It's now been mutually agreed he'll go straight away, along with assistant Tom Parkinson and coach Lloyd Blackman. And finally, in cricket, former Kent captain Charlotte Edwards has been named new head coach of the England women's team. She also captained the country while playing and won 2 World Cups. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. And don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to Kent Online. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. Now, that gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.